Thank you, Miss Lita. Well, thank you, Miss Lita, for that. If you would turn to the book of Acts, chapter 16, as you're turning there, the music this morning reminds me how that, when you're, I'm not a musician, okay? I mean, I can sing a little bit, I enjoy that, but to tickle the keys like Miss Lita here, and then Miss Charlotte, thank you for helping this morning, and Mike Lina's. Think about this, if you will. Let's imagine that we're here on a Sunday morning, and all of a sudden we start singing. Mike's singing one song, the pianist is playing one song, and the organist is playing something different. It'd be a little bit of a mess, wouldn't it? I mean, we wouldn't be able to understand what was going on or what was said. That's a little bit about what I want to talk about today, because today's sermon title is Together as One. This is a message I want to share with you, the church, today. And it's going to be a little different, and we're going to do a little Bible study as well as a message, but I hope that it speaks to you, because, folks, we have a challenge as the church today. Our challenge is to come together as one and then to spread that gospel message throughout our land and around the world. And I think the scriptures we're going to look at this morning will help us to know that. You see, we claim, and it's in your bulletin today, you'll find it on our sign, you'll find it on our website here, it says that our heartbeat is to know Christ and to make Him known. Well, that's what our purpose is as the church, is to share that message to everyone around us. So today we're going to talk about that. We're going to speak a little bit about that. But we need to be moving in one direction with the same purpose and the same plan in everything that we do. So as you think about this, I want us to read this two verses of Scripture. If you would stand with me, we'll start there. Then keep your Bibles open, because we're going to be staying in Acts 16 and 17 this morning, and you may want to refer to it or follow to make sure I'm not telling you something that's not true. But Acts 16, verses 9 and 10. The Bible says, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood, pleaded with him, saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' Now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we come to you again, Father. We fall to our knees at your altar, to your mercy. Father, we praise you for the life you've given us. Father, that you've given us eternal life. And because of the promises you've made, Father, we've got hope. We've got joy that is unspeakable, Father. We've got, Lord, a purpose as we come together as your church, Father. We've got something that you want us to do. And today, Father, we want to examine that. We want to look at Paul's missionary journey, and Father, we want to see that took place. And Father, in that, help us to understand what you would have for us as the church, as your body, from this day forward, Father. We ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right, you may be seated. First of all, again, I love to reaffirm this. We believe this is God's word, right? Amen? Amen. It is God's word. And from that, we could get so much as far as direction, so much as far as instruction, so much to help us understand what our purpose is as God's children, as His church, as His body. What is it God wants? So we're going to look at what Paul, as Luke shared with us here, his missionary journey. I want to show you some things that I think is very, very important for us to look at this morning. But before we get there, I want to ask you some questions. I think there's some things that are very important for you and I to think about today. First of all, I want you to think about, where have we been as a church? What is our history? This church has been here 35 years, folks. 35 years. And throughout it, we've seen God do amazing things. We've seen lots of things happen. People come to know Jesus. And this church I've been associated with several years, but I've always just enjoyed seeing this church. But what is our history? We have a history. Think about that history and the beauty of it. But then it's also think about, where are we now? Currently, right now, where are we at? This is the reality of where we're at. We're at a time and period in life where that times are difficult. Things are different from they've ever been. And they keep telling us, oh, they'll never be the same. I had a guy tell me on an elevator just yesterday morning, oh, it'll never be the same. Oh, it's going to be different. But there's one thing that is the same. That's Jesus Christ. That has never changed. God has never changed. His purpose for the church has never changed. Now, we may have some different obstacles than what we've had in the past. Maybe things are a little different, but that message, that gospel message of what Jesus has come to do and what he wants us to do has never changed, and we can grasp hold of that and hold on to it because he's got us in his hand. He's not going to let go of us if we're his children. So we need to grasp hold of that message. So where are we now? We need to think about that. But here's another thing we need to think about. Why do we exist? What is the purpose of the church? You ever thought about that? Why does the church exist? What would God want from us? Is it to have a place to go on Sunday mornings? Is our purpose here to have fellowships and potluck suppers? Is that what we're all about? I mean, think about that. What is the purpose? Those are important. Don't get me wrong. You can look at me and tell me I enjoy that, right? Don't get me wrong. Potluck suppers are good. But what is the purpose of the church? Why do we exist? So think about that. That's our purpose. What is the purpose of the church? And then as we think about that, think about this question. What do we believe God is calling us to do? What is God calling Pine Eden to do? What is God calling his church across the globe? What is he calling us to do? Folks, that's our vision. We've got to have a vision for what we are doing, what God wants for us. We've got to listen to him and see what he wants and be able to see it and to feel it and to experience God's vision in our life. And then how do we get there? If we know what God wants from us and wants for us, how do we get there? What is going to be our plan? Now, I had a pastor I watched the other day, and I thought it was interesting. He said, a lot of us believe that it's wrong to plan in the church. It's wrong to have a strategy. We walk around, we say, you know, Lord, just lead us like a zombie or whatever. It was something he done, and I thought, wow, that's strange. But anyway, and that's okay if there are churches and people like that. But I'm a planner. I believe in planning. I believe God's word shows us that we need to have a plan. We need to have a strategy, and we're going to see that in the life of Paul here. So let's talk about that. Paul's missionary journey. We read verses 9 and 10, but where did it start? Where did it begin? It actually began in verses 6 and 7. I want you to notice something. It says, now they had gone through Phrygia. I have a hard time with that word. And in the region of Galatia, and they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. And after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. Now, folks, think about this, will you? Sometimes, and we've heard people talk about this, we look for God to open doors, right, that we can step through. Sometimes he closes doors. He did with Paul and his missionary team there. They wanted to stay in Asia. Their goal was to stay in Asia. That was their plan, to go back and visit the churches that they had helped start in Asia and start and see how they were doing and to check on them. But God had a different plan. He closed that door. It says through the Spirit that God forbid him to go into Asia. He had something else in mind. Sometimes God closes one door and opens up another door. Sometimes we sit there and we want him to open doors and we pray and we pray and we pray and we pray, oh Lord, open this, open the door for me, and it never opens. And then we just kind of quit and we give up. But what we need to pay attention to is if God doesn't want us to go into one thing, sometimes he'll detour us and take us in another direction, and he'll open a door in another direction. I've seen that happen in my life. I've seen it happen in lots of people's lives. And folks, I'm sure you have too. But think about that. This is where they had begun. This is where they were. They had a plan. Paul said, I'm gonna go into Asia, but God had something different in mind. This is where they were. So think about that. Their original plan was to stay in that very area. But let's look at the missionary journey. I want to show you something. Look at Acts 16 and 13. Paul ended up going into Philippi. That's the first place they visited. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made. And so we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now here's Paul and his team in Philippi. And it says they went to the river because it was known to be a place where women would go to pray. Now folks, this is uncustomary for Paul. And we're going to see that in just a minute. We're going to see where he normally would go. But why did Paul go to the river? Because he knew that's where the Jewish women would be. Let me ask you something. Why did they not have a synagogue? And we're going to find in a minute, Paul normally would go to the synagogue. Very first thing, he would always go to the synagogue. And he would interact and he would share Jesus with the Jewish leaders that day. But in Philippi, apparently there was no synagogue. I heard a guy say once, said, well, maybe there was not enough men to have a synagogue. In order to start a synagogue, you know how many men it had, of Jewish men had to be in the, be involved? 10. You'd have at least 10 men, Jewish men, to have a synagogue. It was called a minyan, not the cartoon, okay? But it's called a minyan. It took 10 men to establish a synagogue. And there was no synagogue in Philippi, but the Greek women, as well as some Gentiles, would come to the river and pray outside the gates of Philippi. So that's where they first fell. So when Paul got there with the missionary team, the first place they went was they went to see the women that were praying, those godly women. He met with them. Then let's see on the second stop where he went. 17 verse 1. It says, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews, okay? He went to the synagogue. It tells us in those following verses. It was his custom for 3 Sabbaths. He went to the synagogue. Now, the Sabbath, if you'll remember, was from Friday night at the beginning of dusk to Saturday night. That was the Sabbath. They would go in, and he would, and it says there that he was reasoning with them. Basically, he was explaining to them about Christ. He went to the Jews first. You will find in the Word of God, God always went to the Jews first. He had a message for the Jews that there was a Messiah. There was a Messiah that had already come, but a lot of Jews wouldn't accept that. Some did, some did not. Today we call them the Messianic Jews. But there are still a lot of Jews that hold to that, that the Messiah has not yet come. But there in the second stop, they went to Thessalonica, and the first place they went was to the synagogue to share Jesus. Now the third stop, I'm going to go through this quickly, so hang on just a second, okay? Just stay with me. In verse 10, it says, then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. Berea was their third stop. And where did they go in Berea? It says, when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. That's typical of Paul's journeys. He always approached the Jews. He'd go meet them in the synagogue, and he would share Jesus with them. The only place he didn't was in Philippi, where he had to go to the river because there was no synagogue. Then again, if you went to Acts 17:17, he ended up in Athens. He also went to the Jewish people in Athens, it says. So what am I trying to say there? What's the point I'm trying to say? Folks, it's this. God always approached the Jewish people first, then the Gentiles. We are mostly the Gentiles, okay? He died also for the Jews. And I believe if we follow the Bible, God intends for us to share with the Jews as well. We need to be a part of sharing the gospel message with the Jewish people. We need to find a ministry somehow that we share the gospel ministry with the Jewish people. And they're out there. There's several that we could be involved in sharing the gospel message and ways to do that. So, with all that said now, we see what Paul did. We see that Paul had a plan. He would go into an area. First thing he'd do was go to the Jewish leaders in the synagogue. Then he would go to the Gentiles, but he always had a strategy. He had a way that he would start working in that place. Folks, we need to do the same thing as a church. So what I'm saying today is this. what are we learning here from Paul? Let's go back to Acts 16, 9 and 10. And again, I want you to see what we need to do. There's 3 things I want to share with you about this. Acts 16, 9 and 10. Notice it said, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. Folks, the first thing I want you to notice is we have got to have the principle of revelation, or the principle of a vision. We've got to know what God wants from us. When we talk about vision there, we're talking about God's revelation for the church, God's idea of what to do. We've got to have a revelation. We as a church need to understand where we are and who we are. We're here for a purpose. We're here also for potluck dinners and things like that. That's good. But we're here, first of all, to share in the vision and the revelation of God. What is it that he wants for us? The second thing is this. Notice those same verses. Then a man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now notice in verse 10 what they done. It says, now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia. Folks, we also look here, we see the principle of mobilization. We got to have a vision and we got to be mobile. Now, folks, I'll tell you, there's a lot of churches sometimes that are mobile, doing a lot of things. But a lot of times they're not doing it knowing that it's through a vision and what God would have them to do. But they just want to be mobile. They want to do something constantly. We need to be on the go. We need to go and make disciples. That's the plan. That's the plan for the church, is we go and make disciples. And there's some more scriptures I'll share with you later on that. Then the third thing here, as you see in verse 10, says, now after they had been, they'd seen the video, immediately they went sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to what? Preach the gospel to them. That's our whole purpose, is that we're to preach the gospel. That's what the church is all about. We need a vision from God. We need to share in what He wants for our church. We need to be mobile about what we're going to do. We need to be going about wherever it is He has us to go. You know, a lot of us may be homebodies, and we don't understand that. I mean, I'm more of a homebody. When I was growing up, I hated to go anywhere. I loved to be home. If I went off somewhere on a school trip, I wanted to get back home. That was the way I was as I was growing up. You know, I hated to be away from my mother and father. I felt safe at home. And a lot of times we're like that, but we're to be mobile and we're to proclaim the gospel, not just the pastor, all of us. We all have a purpose, and that's to proclaim the gospel to those who are around us. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is not revelation, the people cast off restraint. In other words, they are unconstrained and they drift aimlessly. We kind of get lost. We have a purpose, folks, and that is we got to have a revelation. We got to have a vision for our church. Do you have a vision for Pine Eden? I pray you do. I pray God has laid something on your heart and on your mind. I believe that this church has great, great potential to be a lighthouse in this community. And it has been for many years, and it can even be more. It can be more. I think God's been preparing this church to continue to just share the message. So how do we do it? First of all, we need to reach this community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. When I say this community, I want you to think about what's around you. You know, I look around and I see homes and I see housing and I, a lot of people I don't know, different people from different backgrounds, from different walks of life. Doesn't matter who they are. That is our community. We need to be reaching that community with the gospel of Jesus Christ, no matter who it is. We need to be sharing the gospel. We do a lot of things here. I mean, we got a great children's program Russ, I don't see many here, but I think we had two saved Wednesday night. Two children have made a decision for Christ. I praise God for that. Now, I think they were going to follow up with the family and see how they said, but that's, you know, we're reaching out. But there's so much more we can do. Now, the next thing we need to do, now listen to me, church. Not only do we need to reach the community, but we need to become or pursue full maturity as the body of Christ. Full maturity. We've been doing a study on Wednesday nights called The Mind of Christ, that we might become like the mind of Christ. You and I are born as babes in Christ. It's a growing process. We need to strive and pursue to become full mature in our faith. And some of you might say, well, son, I'm 20 or 30 years older than you. I think I'm mature enough. We may be talking about different things. I'm not talking about our age, but I'm talking about our spiritual walk. Our spiritual walk is we need to become full maturity in our body as believers in Christ. No more baby Christianity. That we become all that God would want us to be. And the third thing is, from a church point of view, is we need renewed passion. Do you know what passion is? You ever been passionate about something? Yeah, that's when you get excited about it, don't you? You really want to get involved in it. We need a renewed passion in our churches today. We need to see people excited about Jesus. I'm going to be honest with you, I see a lot more excitement sometimes sitting around the basketball court or in the football stands than I do in the church. We don't get as excited about sharing Jesus as we do rooting on our favorite teams or our children or our grandchildren. Now, you know how I stand about my grandchildren. I love to watch them play sports and I root them on. But folks, we need to get excited about Jesus. We need a renewed passion. In order to fulfill what the Bible tells us to do, I want to share a couple verses of scripture with you over in Matthew. Over in Matthew 24:14, the Bible says this, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. You see, God intends for this gospel to be preached to everyone before the end will come. Now, how does He plan to do that? If you go on over to Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, it says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. You see, we got a purpose. And our purpose is to share the gospel message, to have a vision, and to be moving toward that vision at all times, to be together as one. You know, but it can't be five or six people. It has to be the entire church. The church, and I'm not just talking about Pine Eden, I'm talking about the church as a whole. We need to be as one. Would you believe that it has been said that churches today are competing against each other? I believe they are in some cases. We compete for membership. We compete for status. We compete for one thing or another. It's constant. We should be as one, loving and working together, sharing the gospel message, and encouraging one another in everything we do. That's what Paul would have us to do. Folks, I want you to think about something. Here in this 16th chapter, there's a little bit more I'm going to share with you in just a second, but I want you to think about this. There is a lost and dying world out there. And it's up to us as the church to help reach that lost and dying world. St. Augustine said it like this: without God we cannot, without us he will not. Think about that. Without God we can't, and without us he will not. Why he chose to do it that way, I don't know. But it's so important for God, for you and I, in whatever way we can, just to share the gospel message. It may be share what has God done for us. How can we reach the community? How can we grow to full maturity? How can we have passion to do these very things? We've got to have that passion to serve God and to reach others. Now, is it going to be easy? Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes we face things. Let's go back to the 16th chapter. I want to read some more to you. When Paul and his team got to Philippi, the first stop, there's more to the story here. They even met a demon-possessed girl, it says, and the demon left the girls. And because the demon left the girl, when Paul and his team approached her, they were arrested. You see, that demon-possessed girl, it says that she was actually part of what they call there was a god, and she was called a python, is what she was called. I forget the whole story, but she was making money. She would tell fortunes, and someone was making money off of that, making a living. So when they cast that demon out of her, it affected the economy of someone. So all of a sudden, they were arrested and they were thrown in prison. You remember that story? It's in chapter 16. You'll see there was a Philippian jailer. That Philippian jailer was assigned the responsibility of keeping Paul and his team under guard. They had them shackled to the walls. The doors were shut. They were thrown in a prison. That night, there came a shaking or a trembling or an earthquake. The doors all open. The chains fell off. When that jailer awoke, he saw that the doors were open. He thought everyone had escaped. He went to sleep. He thought everyone had escaped. He thought, my life is over. I'm going to be persecuted. I'm going to be killed because I let the prisoners go. So he was aiming to kill himself. That's what it says in verse 27 of chapter 16. The keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep, seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself until Paul spoke. Verse 28. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. We didn't leave. You see, Paul knew he had a purpose. They could have escaped. They could have run off. But he said, no, we're all here. Then notice what happened after that. Verse 29, then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? This is the jailer. He looked at Paul and he said, what must I do to be saved? You know, they had their opportunity to leave, but they had a bigger mission. Now notice what he said. And he brought them out and said, you know, sirs, what must I do to be saved? But in verse 31, so they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Now where am I going with this? Folks, think about this. What we saw here was Paul and his team had planned to stay in Asia Minor. But God said, no, I want you to go into Europe. I want you to move not into Asia, where you've been before, but I want you to move into Europe. And that's where they went. When they went into Philippi and they went into Berea and they went into Thessalonica, this was Philippi. They were in what is now modern Turkey, but they moved into Europe. Now you want to think, well, what's so big about them going into Europe? Think about this. What if they had never followed God's vision and went into Europe? What if they'd never went to Philippi? That jailer and his household may have never been saved. Now let's even go farther than that. They was going to stay in Asia, which is just a region, a small region, but God was moving them into Europe, a continent. God said, you may have wanted this small region, but I'm going to give you a continent. And even that, I'm going to give you more than that. Now think about this. That was the beginning of the church in Europe, and it began to spread. Over time, many of our ancestors came from Europe. You ever thought about that? They come from Europe. So a group of people come over to what is now called the United States of America from Europe to form a nation based on Christian values. And because it probably all started back in that day with Paul, being obedient to the vision of God, what if he hadn't been obedient? Folks, we may have never been saved, had the opportunity. We may be in one of those out there that we say is to the ends of the earth, waiting to hear the gospel message today. Can you see what I'm saying? We've got to be obedient to the vision of God. We need a passion to help our neighbors learn about Jesus. We need to be speaking with our heart. We need to be speaking with our feet by being active, our hands, our lips, whatever it is, sharing Jesus. I think I told you last week, we were talking about the roadblocks to revival. And one of those was, you know, I just don't have time. We make time for those things that are important to us. If God is important to us, folks, we need to make time. We need to look at our schedules and say, where am I leaving God out? We need to look and say, how can I better serve Him? How can I have the vision? And as a church, we need one as one. We've got to be one. It can't be one or two people. Now, I'll be honest with you. There's people here that work, and they work hard to try to get the message of Jesus out. They do a lot of things. But we could all use help. It's going to take you and I all. You know, we need people involved in Sunday school. We need people to look beside them in Sunday school and say, hey, there's somebody not here, and reach out and say, Lord, how can I help fill that seat? How can I help tell someone about Jesus? I can't emphasize enough the need for a small group Bible study, and I want to share a couple of things with you. This is from my heart. I just want to share these with you. These are some things that I desire, since my time probably is drawing near with Pine Eden. I want to share this with you. I pray that this house continues to be a house of prayer. Folks, we can't pray enough. We need to be praying for God's vision and for God's purpose in our church, and help us to mobilize and do the things we need. Find ways to reach out to the Jewish people. We need to be a part in so many ministries. There's so many out there. We need to strengthen our present ministries. We got some great ministries here. You know, we've got the children's programs. We've got the food pantry. There's so much more. I don't even know. I haven't been here long enough to know what they all are. The Joy Group is another ministry that reaches out to our people. There's so much more that it comes to mind as I remember things of the past. Things have kind of changed a little bit because of this virus. We've been shut down. But we need to strengthen our present ministry. So how can we do that? How can we strengthen our ministries? We need to look back and say, what can we do? You know, there's been some renovation in these facilities. And as I walk through, now you got to understand me, I walk through a lot of times when there's no one here. Now look and say, well, what's this room being used for? And what's this room being used for? Boy, and I envision that they're all filled with children of God. And you say, well, we've got to have this type of room in it. Well, if we do, we'll build more. And okay? You understand what I'm saying? We want to fill our house with God. We want to give of our finances, and that's always a touchy subject with people. But another one that I think that we really need to look at here is to strengthen our fellowship. I love the people here. You got a great fellowship. But it can always be better. How can we strengthen it? Sunday school is a very important part. We want to grow our Sunday school. See it get bigger. See the classes grow and have to expand into other rooms and fill them up. And that's where we look around and we say, how can I help fill that seat? Folks, there's people out there just dying. We need to expand. You know, we've been talking about expanding the media ministry and doing some things. We use the phone and put it on Facebook, you know, once a week. But there's so many other opportunities that are out there, and many churches are taking advantage of it. And some of those media ministries will stay around forever after we're even gone. Maybe someone will come to know Jesus because they see a ministry, media ministry. And then the last thing is this. We need to expand our missions ministries, not only this church, but all churches. We need to be taking the gospel message to our communities and to the extent around the world, wherever it may be. Sometimes we become comfortable with, well, I'm happy with where we are. Well, that's good, but we need to expand, though. We've got to look and see who's around us. Missions are so important. I look at it because I've been involved in missions, I guess, all my life. I looked at I was probably a part of a mission. I was the product of a bus ministry, product of a Bible school, being held off-site in an out-of-the-way place. That's how I come to know Jesus. Then that church picked me up in a bus, and I'd come until I got to the point where I could drive. When I started driving, I continued to come. But it all started with a Bible school, then a bus ministry, and someone who cared enough just to drive the bus, and a church that loved missions. You don't have to go all over the world. Doesn't mean we don't need to. We need to. We need to start home and spread. Because the more we all become involved in spreading the gospel message, the more it will spread. Let me share with this, then we're going to close. If Paul had not been obedient to the vision, we need to be obedient to the vision. The eternity of our communities and world might be at stake. Have you ever thought about that? If Paul had not been obedient, the eternity. We're talking about eternal matters here, folks. We're not talking about things of earthly being lives. It's eternal matters. We need to be gathered as one, focusing as one, focusing on that vision, being mobilized, and then also proclaiming the gospel message. So with that said, let me ask you this today. Do you have a vision? Do you know what the vision of this church is? Well, we already know what it is. The heartbeat is to know Christ and to make him known. That's what we say it is. That's our mission. Let's all have that vision. Let's all see it. That's my prayer for you as a church, is to have that, share in that vision, share in that opportunity to reach other people around the world. There's so many ways. I sit down sometimes and I just like to think of all the ways that we could reach Jesus if we all just got together. So that's my challenge to Pioneering Baptist Church. Let's share in that one task. Let's share in that vision. Let's be as one. Now, with that said, today there may be some of you here that may not know the gospel message. Jesus died for you. It's so simple. He died for you. He died for me. And all he says is we have to believe. Just like that jailer. He and his household were saved. He said, how can I be saved? He says, believe on Jesus. And you and his household were saved. So what that means is others will come to know Jesus through us. So if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, today would be a perfect day to know him. Give your life to Jesus today. And all it is just accept what he's done for you. And we're going to sing a hymn in just a minute of invitation. Maybe you're here this morning and you've kind of lost that passion in serving God. And you need it back. Pray for revival in our hearts. That's why we've been doing a lot of praying. We need to experience a revival so that we'll all be a part of that vision. We can all together as one body, share in that vision. So where are you at today? What do you need? Brother Mike, will you come and lead us in a hymn of invitation? Between you and Jesus, what would we have you do today? I think that Jesus has paid it all. for me, and he washed my sins white as snow. I'm going to tell you, he had a mess to clean up, but he did. And I rejoice and praise him for that. But again, today I come back as his church. We've got to have that vision, folks. And I pray, and that's going to be my prayer for this church, that you continue to have a vision for what God wants for you and this church and the churches around us. And that would be to serve him and to see other people come to know him. We're going to sing one more stanza, and then we will close in prayer.